gonna hit the admit button here.
I like our very difficult to coordinate hallway track session. Oh, thanks for joining us, Paul. Way to be
if we
late.
We wanted this to be half-assed, we would have waited for JJ.
Yeah, to be fair, Laura, you really screwed this up.
I did. I screwed it up so bad. That's kind of what happens when you go to an eye doctor appointment. I keep thinking like, oh yeah, eye doctor appointments, they're an hour. No, they're not. No, they're never. So not. But hey, for once, they did not dilate my pupils. So that was actually really cool.
So I was told by a friend that sometimes they use a second chemical to undilate them when you're done.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of those. Yeah.
And I've never had that. So I always have that like drive home trying not to like squint at things so I don't crash.
Oh yeah.
Dude, like maybe like feeling. Get someone else to drive you home.
Wait, you can do that?
It's like an eye doctor. Like I'm not having like a major surgery done.
Well, yeah, but your pupils are dilated. You can't focus on the cars in front of you. Maybe it's just because I have really bad vision and it like doubles up everything without my glasses. So like, it's not really that safe for me to be driving without glasses, but yeah. But no, they apparently have like a newfangled computer now that can take an image of your retina without dilating your pupils. So
right.
It was glorious.
I need to go to that place.
It's nice. It was very nice.
I've only had 2 eye doctor visits in my adult life.
You suck.
Really?
So it's not something I do often.
That's like people with perfect teeth. I think y'all all suck. Like as somebody who knows dentists and optometrists all too well.
Yeah.
I mean, good for you.
My optometrist said, because I saw them right before my last insurance ran out at the old job. And she said that next visit, I would probably need a prescription for glasses. So I'm going to do the only adult thing possible and just never go back.
Yeah, okay. The glasses aren't that bad. 2 out of the 3 people on this call are wearing them. So, you know.
It's not wearing glasses. It's the admitting that
my
body is failing with age.
See,
yeah.
I don't know. I would argue that it isn't necessarily age because I started wearing bifocals when I was like 10. So I don't know about age.
I didn't know you were such a Benjamin Button effect.
Something like that.
Those of us who started with pretty good eyes, it's an age thing.
Okay, fine. Fine. I see how this works.
Those of you who were deformed at birth, like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I came out doing my best and it wasn't a good enough best. I've had had a decent prescription since I was 7. So I think for me, I've thought about doing LASIK. I have some people in my network who've had some good results. I've had some people that have had some rough results with the dry eyes after that, which would drive me a little batty. But I'm still thinking about doing it. But honestly, I would probably keep wearing glasses after just out of habit and just do that annoying thing where you don't actually need them. But I've worn them anyway. Every day since I was 7. It'd be freaking weird at this point to stop.
Yeah, it would be weird hanging out with you when you didn't have glasses on.
Exactly. Just can't take this whole thing in at once. You need like a couple little see-through lenses.
Yeah, see, that's the reason I can't do contact lenses is because every time I look at myself in the mirror without glasses on, I'm like, that's not the same person. This is weird. Who are you? Why are you in my mirror? It doesn't work out too well. But anyway.
Well, hey gang. I was thinking of you, Laura, yesterday because I was playing frisbee golf for the first time.
Oh, nice.
And I finally can appreciate your wall behind you for
Yay!
Those not able to appreciate this visual medium that we call podcasting. Laura always has a wonderful wall of frisbee golf discs behind her. I don't know the right verbiage at all, but I am.
You're close. Disc golf. It's all right.
Disc golf. Yeah.
Yeah, because Frisbee is the brand name. So it's kind of like Kleenex.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But it's okay. Fair. We know what you mean. And it's okay.
That's great. Right. So disc golf, super fun. There is a public kind of 18 holes, maybe 10 minutes from my house. And I was able to rent some and throw out around with some friends. And I tried to throw it like I was playing Ultimate. And it was horrific at first. not the same.
They're
game
not
at all.
The same disc. Yeah, they're not so the same weird. Disc.
But once I got dialed in on it, I was just like, holy hell, you can really huck those drivers. Like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, did you lose any?
They went deep into what would have been a pond if we weren't having epic droughts in Minneapolis and Minnesota as a whole. But I just walked through what was left of the fawns and pulled it out of the middle.
Thank God for global warming.
Yeah, just the little things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was super fun. I got a jam on any favorites, or do you have any favorites? Like, are there
favorite discs?
Yeah.
Or favorite courses or all the above?
I think let's start with discs because I've decided I'm going to buy a set.
So I'm going to make some people haters right now. I'm a huge fan of Trilogy. So there's three disc brands that are made by the same, basically the molds are all the same company, like pouring them, but each company has their own mold. It's kind of weird. But that's Latitude 64, Dynamic Disc, and Westside. Dynamic Disc is in Emporia, Kansas. That's where they're headquartered. So it's kind of fun to say, like, I lived right around the corner from Emporia, relatively. You know, I was in Kansas, so it felt like it was around the corner anyway.
Cool.
Yeah, so a lot of the discs that are on my wall behind me are Dynamic Discs or Latitude. I'm a big fan of Latitudes. To start out, there are three discs that are really worth having as a beginner set from Latitude. And it's the Ruby, Ruby, where are you?
She's consulting her wall.
I'm trying to see if I have any of them up here. Okay. I have a Jade, Ruby Diamond, and I forgot what the third one is, but it's a Onyx. Putter. No, but you're close. It's a putter, mid-range, and a driver. Yep, but a fairway driver, not a distance driver, because you're not gonna throw a distance driver.
You have so many discs, you could just send him a care package.
I actually have enough that I could send you a care package.
Didn't you say the other day you had like a bag of 50 of them at your feet or something crazy?
100, but yeah. Two bags. So hold on. What you can't see is I'll go get them for Matt and Paul to react to, but you'll have to make sure that you're very audible for the people who are on the podcast. So this is bag number one.
Holy, what the, why do you, what the hell? These are like hand-sized discs and she's coming out. Like you could fit a 30-person tent in each of the bags you just brought in.
So these are my two trainer bags that come with me to the local field, and there's the discs inside.
Oh my god.
So here's my two rubies.
I knew you were into it, but I'm seeing something far more significant than I expected.
Well, so there's actually some fun stuff that you can do. There's actually glow in the dark discs. What you can do is you can go play with we put glow sticks on the holes, and the holes are basically chain baskets. You put glow sticks on them, and then you play with glow in the dark discs that you charge up with the UV flashlight. It's a lot of fun in the dark. Yeah. But we do that down here in Texas a lot because heat, you know. So anyway, 50-pound bags of discs. I could send you some.
I would appreciate that. That'd be amazing. Holy crap, Paul.
Do you like how I just like sign Laura up to give you free shit?
Yeah, when are you gonna just send her a barbecue? Like you've got at least six.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So
I'm like, what do I have to give people? Like too many philosophy books no one wants to read? Like
be nice.
I mean, I like them, but I do have a bunch of stuff no one needs to read.
Send her a can of stinky fish or something.
Listen,
no Lutfisk, no.
If I'm gonna be a stereotype, I'll send you like Hanukkah guilt so you can have fun eating chocolates and playing with dreidel, but like I'm not sending stinky fish in the mail. I'm not ending up on whatever list I would end up on.
Yeah, as long as it's also not stinky cheese, right? Isn't there the one cheese that's banned from the Subway? like it's like a French cheese,
like the subway sandwich. Restaurant.
No, like the trains underground subway.
So
eat fresh.
It's not that cheese, but we got kicked out of a hotel lobby in Paris once because our cheese was too stinky.
I love that, metaphorically and literally.
Well, wild.
Yeah, I mean, that would be wonderful. I knew you liked disc golf. I didn't quite know what I was signing up for here, and I like it.
Well, I mean, like, there's also, for those of you who can't see my wall, so there's two collector, I like to call them my collector discs. They're not really collector. They're just like 80s ones that I found at the flea market. Two original Whammo Frisbees over here. And then I've got two Ultimates, Can Jam, and then Disc Dog are the lower ones. So yeah, I do a lot of Frisbee things. I'm not saying I'm any good. I just say I enjoy throwing them. They're fun.
Yeah, so that's exactly where I am at in my life with any sports. Yeah. And it works.
Well, Matt, when you finally come and visit us in Austin, after or maybe before we do the Fast and the Furious 5 viewing, we'll take you and play some disc golf.
That would be absolutely fantastic. That'd
and in fact, fun. There's a place down in San Marcos that has disc mini golf. So it's disc golf, but with like mini golf type obstacles.
Oh my God, that'd be so fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we need to do it when it's not like hot out.
Yes.
Which is most of the year. So just like come so down midnight. In November. Like that might work.
Yeah, that might work.
November, December. Yeah.
That's cool. That's usually hot when it's painfully cold here. So that's a.
Yeah. You want to come down in like January, February when it's just pure snow and cold. That works too. We normally don't get snow down here. Normally.
Right. I mean, normally can really kind of.
You know what you change. Can do? You can swing by Austin on your way to KubeCon in November.
Yes. Ooh, that is actually a pretty fun idea. Like instead of cruising right out to LA, like come through Austin. I'm still like wrapping my head around an in-person conference. Oh, I dropped by DevOps Days Minneapolis.
How did that go?
It was awesome. I mean, Bridget Crumhow, if you haven't known her, I mean, she runs that one. She's been involved in the whole DevOps Days organization for many years, and she just runs an amazing conference. She totally accepts the challenge of having a like well-curated conference where people always feel welcome. There's space for everybody. So I feel like she just adapted it really nicely to the need of a hybrid event. There was really good spacing for people on the day. There's a live stream for those who wanted to participate online. And they had over 200 people come in person.
Nice.
Which was way more than I expected. I think she said when I talked to her Wednesday afternoon, it was already up to actually 300 people had paid for participation and had come through for at least some portion of the event. There were 200 in the audience that day.
Wow.
For the keynotes and talks. And then participation online was in the many more hundreds than that. So
nice.
So it ended up being like virtually it combined the two, like a 700-800 person conference, which is awesome. I mean, just that was great. It was good to see people again. However, you know, briefly, I couldn't hang out the whole time, but I love that space and the speakers. I mean, it keynoted with Ian Coldwater kicking it off, and I heard they did just a phenomenal job telling a story. So yeah, good stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, but yeah, just the idea of going to KubeCon, where like in my mind I picture 20,000 people. I don't think I can wrap my head around that just yet.
Yeah,
I can't either.
I mean, they've been talking big game about making sure that the venue has good protocols and stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what turns out. But it's also going to be interesting to see what happens with Delta, because if we don't get our shit together with that, we're just going to fall straight back into a brand new wave.
Yeah.
I mean, at least, you know, it sucks to say it, but it's only at least only the unvaccinated morons that are dying now.
Well,
so it feels like the world's largest murder-suicide cult at this point.
Well, but there's a lot of people who can't get a vaccine, too.
Right.
Like, there's, I don't know. I have to admit that there's, as much as I don't like to say like, okay, fine, it's really not in my makeup to say, well, screw you, the people who don't get vaccinated. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I just can't, I can't do it. Cause it's one of these things, like, I'm going to keep trying to convince you if you're not going to get vaccinated. Like, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep trying to get you to do it. But like, I can't say, well, oh, well, you're going to die. Like,
yeah. So here's the thing. We're either going to get enough vaccinations. We'll hit some form of herd immunity and we'll stop all the variants from popping up. Cause that's where all the risk is in all the variants.
Yeah.
So especially interesting.
You look at Delta, like it's more virulent, it's more infectious. That's exactly that. And like just about everywhere now, it's the primary strain. And that's happened, you know, in a matter of, it feels like a month or two. What's going to happen though, is if we don't hit that, we'll hit some middle ground where it flips from pandemic to endemic. And every single year we're going to have variants and it'll end up being like the flu, if not a little bit worse, in which we're going to have, in the US alone, 30 to 50,000 people die every year. And that's the thing, that the people that are choosing not to be vaccinated, I feel, are accountable for.
Yeah. Like,
I get there are people that can't be vaccinated and that really sucks for them. But I also think that they're probably also the ones that are still taking extra precautions when they can, right? I'm more talking about the ones that are not vaccinated and refusing to take any precautions. They're about to become responsible for 30 to 50,000 American deaths every year, let alone the rest of the world.
No, I agree with you there.
And that's almost best case scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not qualified to get into like the real deep specifics, but I will give an anecdote of, I got into a great conversation with a doctor friend or pool of doctor friends. I have some doctor friends in the Minneapolis area who have been there, like saying when somebody dies from COVID over and over and over again for the last year plus. Yeah. And yeah, just to hear what they've been through is hell. Like, what's very abstract for me is been hell for people I love, which is crazy.
Right.
But one of them reminded me of a kind of a natural detail of virology when it comes to that the viruses over time tend to get, this is a tendency, not a guarantee, but they tend to get less severe and more spreadable. Like, that is like a natural outcome of being so strong against our immune system that they kill people. So those ones die off because they've killed the people that would be along the way, and it wants to get to a symbiosis with its hosts, which are us. There's always room in evolution for variants that could spike in different ways and cause new levels of harm, for sure. But like the 28 days later vibe of like some people being immune and then like a mega worse thing coming out of that is less likely probability wise than it kind of stabilizing into another form of cold that we're all going to end up getting to some degree. And it was helpful for me just to remember that science of it again, it's like probability, and it's not, and probability doesn't necessarily guarantee outcomes, but it kind of helped me kind of normalize some of my thoughts around that and not get too extra pissed off. I'm definitely appropriately pissed off is how I'm feeling. This sucks. It sucks that people are receiving information and believing it that is just not contrary to the reality around them. It sucks that it doesn't seem like there's an avenue to communicate an alternative perspective. And it sucks that, you know, most of the people I care about like are so pissed, even if they had an avenue to talk, they'd mostly just yell at the other person, which we all know isn't going to be effective.
Yeah.
Like we're in a tight spot. But some of the science helps normalize it for me.
Yeah. And as I said, it'll become like the flu. We'll get a yearly booster that's going to be updated and adapted for the last season's variants. And, you know, we'll all be fine apart from the people that aren't.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the thing that I still have family who won't get it. Not like close family, but family. And I'm still talking with them. Like, we're still trying. We're still attempting to have that conversation and talk about why I got it, why they're not getting it. How can I help them kind of fix their brain? Because in my mind, they're brainwashed. It's hard. And I guess my thing is that they're never going to get there if people aren't going to keep trying, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
So fair. Like, don't get me wrong, it sucks. And I get really pissed at them. And we have long conversations about it. And, you know, when we get together and see, you know, hey, we're on a phone call, like, we're going to have a good discussion about this. It sucks. I hate it because I hate having those conversations. But at some level, you know, it's not going to get fixed by them continuing to listen to the assholes that are feeding them the information. It's just not going to get fixed. They have to hear it from somebody they trust, somebody they love, yeah, somebody that does. And if you don't know me, you might not know, I'm not great at confrontation unless there's something, like, unless I'm taking care of someone else. So for me to sit there and like keep pushing to have this conversation is really hard, but I think it's worth it. And I hope that, in getting very, very serious about this podcast for a moment, I hope that people take a minute to realize that sometimes it does take somebody else that's there in front of them talking to them instead of constantly hearing what they hear on YouTube, what they hear on whatever news source they're listening to, which typically actually isn't the news.
Yeah.
It's some talk radio mess.
Yeah. And I, for sure, like the worst of it is almost all of the cult leaders in this are vaccinated themselves.
Yeah, screw them. They're the ones, mm-hmm, who I want to say screw them.
Right.
But yeah, like there are some people who are saying, you know, until the FDA approves it, I don't want to be on the emergency authorization. Oh, okay. I don't think the science has changed that much, to be honest. But oh, okay. We're almost there. So
yeah, I've got a few friends that are pulling the, I'm just waiting for the science to prove it out. And I'm like, well,
the science already did. Ah,
the science I know. Did. And like, well, find me a virologist or immunologist or whatever supposed to call them that is currently saying, don't get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And like, then you can talk about the science.
There are some people I know who their doctors actually said it, you'd be better off right now. We don't have enough studies for what, like this rare disease that you have right now. Don't get vaccinated. Just keep masking up, keep washing hands, act like there's no vaccine at all anywhere in the world. And you have to take care of yourself. There's a couple totally people I know who are like that, and that's different. And then actually I scheduled a family member for their vaccine after I was able to make sure their doctor said, no, I don't care that you have this thing. We have enough data. You need to go get it so that you don't have anything worse. And they were like, oh, I'm like, yeah, here, I'll help you find the vaccine. Let's go. Let's go do this. I'll drive you there. I'll make sure we get there. You know, like sometimes that's what it takes.
Yeah.
But
and it's interesting. It's frustrating. People talking about the potential side effects and stuff, and you look at the list of side effects and the numbers and you compare it to, say, I don't know, Tylenol, of which like some ridiculous number of people die from Tylenol every year. So like
I think the worst one, if I'm remembering this right, was somebody was complaining about the side effects potential stuff. Oh no, you know, you could have like anaphylactic shock. That can be very serious. Yes. But like you're getting it at a doctor's office,
right?
Maybe, you know, or at least somewhere where there's people who know how to do first aid and can take care of you. And then I was like, okay, hold on a second. Let's go look at Viagra. And you sit there and you look at like the side effects, the common side effects of some of these other drugs that no one thinks a minute about. And you're like, okay, hold on a second. Did you see the seizures and death part? The seizures and death part, you know, the part like when they have the ad on TV and it shows them like frolicking in a field and they're telling you about all the horrible things that are going to happen to you if you take this drug. Like, that's the thing that gets me every single time, because I'm like, okay, hold on a second. Do you listen to that part or are you just looking at them frolicking in the field? That's I don't know.
Yeah. So this is where, oh, what did I just do?
I don't know, but I'm going to talk over you. Coming from a place that has laws against ads for prescription ads, watching ads for like prescription drugs is just amazing for me. Even like after being here for a decade.
Wait, there's laws? Just, what are these laws? I'm curious now.
Any kind of prescription drugs you can't advertise on TV or anything.
Really?
Right.
Wow. That's fascinating.
That's like common across the world. Except here. I mean, American exceptionalism and all that.
Well, no, American, what's the word I'm looking for? Naive? Yeah, I can never actually say the word, but just American not awareness. I don't know.
We'll just go with what I said.
Yeah.
Exceptionalism.
Yeah, American exceptionalism at its best, right?
Hey, speaking of American exceptionalism, do you want a kayak update?
I do want a kayak update. What's going on with your kayak, Paul?
We did talk about my kayak last podcast, right? Or did we talk about it afterwards?
I think we talked about it afterwards. So what?
Oh boy.
What happened to your kayak? And fill in the listeners on what's going on with the kayak saga.
So I bought a kayak right around just before Christmas. And right on a month ago, the same day I bought my new car, my kayak's hull cracked right where the seat goes in. And so I contacted the kayak company because it's still under warranty. And they were like, oh, just epoxy it together, it'll be fine. And I'm like, will it? Also, like, it's warranty. So like, if that's the solution, you should epoxy it together for me. I'm certainly not qualified to be conducting repairs on a kayak hull. But anyway, I rolled with it. I epoxied it. And like the next trip out, of course, it just failed and the crack opened up again. So I said,
I didn't hear about the crack opening back up. Okay.
So I sent another message. I gave him a couple of phone calls and nothing. Not returning my calls, not getting back to me. And so I Karened them. I found the email address for their celebrity YouTube endorsement person. And I CC'd them on an email and basically went through the entire timeline and everything again. 10 minutes later, they're calling me.
Nice. That's,
I love to use influencers against a company. Good. I feel that's a next level move.
Yeah, and then, it is.
Here's the resolution, which I'm super excited about, is they're going to send me a new hull, a new kayak, but I have to cut my current one in half and send them a photo.
Okay. That's a really interesting way to say you're never going to give it to anybody else.
Exactly. And after we're done here, I'm going to get my chainsaw out and I'm going to chainsaw a kayak in half. And I'm so looking forward to it.
Please put that like on TikTok or something, because some of us just need to see this video.
I'll drag my camera out there and stick it on a tripod and film it, because it's going to be so amazing.
Oh man, that's a special one right there.
But I do need to remember to take all my accessories off it before I cut it in half. So
yeah, maybe
in half too.
did they specify which way to cut it? In half?
I figure I'll go crossways. I don't need to go lengthways.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that, Laura, but that's a great idea. You should go lengthwise first.
I was thinking lengthwise, because then you could then maybe float that next to you like skis for your like, you know, turn it into like a cargo kayak, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. And of course I'm like, well, I could really carefully cut it in half and then see if someone wants to see if they can fix it. No, I'm just gonna use a chainsaw.
Will it blend? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking of, this could just go horribly wrong. And as long as you're recording it, like I'm fine with the outcome. I hope you come out with all your phalanges and stuff intact. But if not, like just send me the video.
All
right. I will definitely wear my safety
glasses.
Your safety glasses. I was just thinking like a chainsaw, when you put it through something, man, it's got some momentum. So like, I don't know how heavy the kayak is, but I don't know if you have to like strap it down first so it doesn't fling at you.
Oh, it's probably fine.
Yeah, it's probably fine. Exactly.
Putting too much thought into it.
So, yeah, just put another kayak on the Barbie. Yeah.
So Landon actually typically calls it engaging safety squints. So I hope you engage your safety squints.
What the hell are you talking about?
So, you know, like you're doing something really, really fast. So you just squint at it and then you do it instead of putting on safety glasses. It's called engaging safety squints. I forget what YouTuber he got that from. But yeah, so engaging safety squints. So we have the safety flip-flops and safety squints. So don't forget, you know, your eye protection, your ear protection, and your feet protection.
Absolutely.
Oh, show it approve.
Now, did you all see my video from the other day of something screaming in pain?
That was hilarious, Paul. That was hilarious.
You missed it. Okay. All right. I'm going to play this Twitter. For you. Don't look at it. I'm going to play the sound for you. And then you're going to tell me what's screaming in pain.
We can't hear it. It's really faint.
Oh, really?
Try putting it.
Yeah, where's your microphone?
I was holding it right up to the microphone. All right. What can I do?
So I can let you share screen, I guess? I don't
know. Yeah, that's going to be the easiest way. I can share my screen. Although I don't want you to look at it.
No, I'll just minimize Zoom.
We can trust you?
Yeah. I'll just not look at Zoom.
I've already seen it. So I'm going to, I think you can just share. If you can't, let me know. Give it a shot. You can just share audio only too. So.
It's still disabled. You muted me.
Hold on. I didn't mute you. I didn't do anything. I'm going to make you a host instead. How about that? Now you're the host. Hopefully that didn't. Right. Okay. The recording is still going.
Share. But. Screen. Okay. Don't be looking, Matt. Oh, hang on. All right. Oh my God. I'm so bad at this.
You need to share your audio.
Yeah, I know. See, I realized as soon as I did it. But
so we are tech people. If you go to the advanced tab, Paul, there's like a just share computer audio. So we are tech people, in case those of you listening didn't figure that out. We're very good at tech. We just, you know.
I don't have an option for audio only.
Oh, you're probably on Linux, aren't you?
Windows. You can do audio and video. I'm not looking.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Okay.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
All right, sharing.
This is embarrassing.
It's hilarious. Don't worry, I'll cut it out. Maybe.
Our poor listeners.
Did you hear that or was it still too quiet?
I didn't hear anything.
It's pretty quiet, but I think Matt was talking over it, so.
All right. Well,
turn up your volume. Turn up your volume.
My volume.
No, do it. Do it anyway.
Hold on. Still nothing.
Right. No, we heard that one.
I didn't. I don't know why, but there's no sound coming to me.
Oh, well, I could hear it just fine, but it definitely sounds very entertaining. I wonder if I could find it and see if I can record it off.
Let me try it one more time. Be quiet.
Oh. Is it like a pen full of baby elephants? I don't know logistically how you got them, but it just sounded like that. Or is it JJ screaming through farts?
I would believe that second one.
Yeah.
JJ does like to make his farting noises. But it was me cooking a tortilla. So I bought I got my grill adapter to have a tortilla press attached to it.
Oh, yeah. So I saw that without sound. Okay.
So you put the little ball of dough and then you pull down on the press and the press and the grill top are heated. So it's like cooking at the same time.
That's brilliant.
And so what you're hearing is like the moisture all escaping really quickly as steam.
Right. That's cool. Nice. Ooh, can you reuse that for smash burgers or would you?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
I sure can. Oh,
tasty. There you go.
I'm so into this vibe
also,
for you.
Also for bacon. So like make sure the bacon's nice and flat.
Nice. Yeah, that's always nice. Cool, man. That's fun. I didn't realize you're getting into on the tortilla game. Really crowding JJ's only individuality.
So the funny thing there is my friend actually makes tortilla presses and had a bunch for sale. And
cool.
And I said, hey, JJ, you should buy these. And they're basically, they just fit on top of your stove and do the same thing. JJ, you should buy one of these. And he refused to buy one. And then so I got one. And so I'm like, looks like I'm the cool one in the club now.
There you go. I like it. I like it. Okay.
Nice.
Well, it's always nice to hear new sounds that freak me out. And now I just imagine you with a pen of baby elephants in your backyard trying to keep that
alive. And now you're going to be... You're going to wake up in the middle of the night and it's going to be that sound that woke you up. That's your nightmare, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, when I make the next time, I will get a better microphone up there and try and get a really good quality recording of it.
Please do. I was going to say, speaking of nightmares, what's up with Delta and American Airlines and going towards the unpaid volunteer route for employment, quote unquote?
Oh, yeah, this was a few weeks ago now, but I think it's probably still a thing. So they're having trouble staffing their lounges, right? For if you're part of the, you know, whatever club, Admiral's Club or whatever they call it. And so their solution was to ask staff to volunteer to work shifts for free. Which is kind of breathtaking. Like, these are the same staff that you just furloughed for a year, and now you're like, hey, would you like to work for free now for extra hours? It's just,
yeah,
it's also weird and topsy-turvy. I actually saw I saw one guy, was it a tweet or something? It was basically looking for someone to mow my lawn. I'll pay you $15. Oh, wait, no one wants to do it, huh? That's kind of a good simile or whatever to our current employment situations, where they're struggling to find people to work on minimum wage because they fired everyone and everyone decided that they didn't want to work for minimum wage anymore.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Really just seems to add up. It takes a very special form of anti-capitalist to be like, well, no, these must be communists if they won't work for minimum wage, instead of right? Supply and demand, motherfucker. Like, you're the one that's praying to it. I'm right? Worth more.
So. Yeah. Well, and I mean, people getting screamed at, you know, for like restaurants, stuff like that. I can never imagine why it's worth that to people, instead of paying people, like, you know, you deal with people who are cranky because they're hungry. Like, and they feel entitled or something. So maybe you should get paid more because you deal with that crap. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Too bad. Yeah. Mental health is not something that increases, or like the stress on your mental health is not proportional to your pay, or we would not apparently be paid what we're paid relative to teachers. And just to start there, holy shit, can we get to anything not depressing in this episode? Let's talk about some food.
Dude, I talked about chainsawing a kayak. That's about the least depressing thing a person could do.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. Yeah.
Yeah. And using influencers to get an answer from the company. Yeah. So that was pretty good.
I like that we're doing this meta baseball, inside baseball conversation mid-podcast. Yeah, this is an okay podcast. I would listen to this one.
Well, JJ's not here, so we have to break the fifth wall without him.
Yes, so many walls, so little time. Well, you know what? It's about top of the hour. We all got some stuff to do. What's your snack track looking like? What's everyone cooking?
Well, I made imitation cilantro bowls the other day with, so if you haven't ever been down to Austin, there's a place here called Cilantro. Started out as a food truck, but it's a Korean-Mexican fusion is what they kind of bill it as. And the noodle bowls are my absolute favorite. I'm obsessed with them. And I need to not keep going there to get some. So I tried to make it at home. There's no recipe out there on the internet. So I found a soy glazed chicken recipe, which was actually pretty good. Little not caramelized enough. I think I had too much sauce or too much oil in the pan. It didn't like caramelize the sugars very well. I did that and sweet potato noodles, because there's these sweet potato glass noodles that they use. cabbage. I typically put cabbage and cucumbers, cheese, tortilla chips, and something else in there. I forget what else. Carrots. So normally I have a lot of that and then some spinach. And this time it actually, I put all that in there and I made a fake magic sauce. They have this proprietary magic sauce that I think the base is sriracha mayo. But I made all that together and we've been having it for lunch. It's pretty good. Pretty impressed that it actually worked out, kind of.
Way to go. No. That's inspiring to like grab a food that you can't get or maybe shouldn't always buy out and try to recreate it.
Yeah.
There's a spot in Portland called Whole Bowl that serves one thing. Oh, okay. And it's like this layered bowl of delicious things that I miss. And I just realized I should make that. So Thanks for the inspo.
Now, speaking of food and Portland, did you see that Nathan Myhrvold, who is the guy that does Modernist Kitchen, those giant cookbooks and stuff, that was once the CTO of Microsoft, I think he was, and is also the largest patent troll in the world. He just did Modernist Pizza, which is a $600 three-tome thing on pizza. And as part of that, they did a big tour of the country and they declared Portland as the best city for pizza in the country.
I saw that. That just seems cruel, unusual, wrong. I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, that seems a little weird. But I think it's kind of like, you know, barbecue. Everybody has their own favorite. Like if you Texas barbecue, Kansas City barbecue, Memphis barbecue. Weird people like Rochester barbecue, you know,
and to be fair, he did call out specific places and reasons why it wasn't just like a random thing.
In general, it's better here. Well, I mean, what do you think of it, Paul? I mean, I haven't been that close to this pizza
project. I mean, I don't know, like he called out, is it Mod Pizza? What's the not Mod Pizza, what's the famous Sizzle Pie? Is it Sizzle Pie? He called out that as kind of the base level of like the Portland, like higher level pizza, and then sort of went through three or four other places that are really like kind of pushing the pizza envelope. And he did kind of call back to the fact that a lot of the places like in New York and, you know, even in Italy a bit are kind of resting a little bit too heavily on like we were good 50 years ago. And haven't really moved forward with the tastes and wants of the modern consumer.
Huh.
Which I think was all kind of valid.
Sounds like shit stirring, if I've ever heard it.
Well, I mean, he's also got a book to sell, so of course he's going to try and make some noise.
Oh, yeah, that would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, let's not misappropriate, like, deep philosophical stance on the evolution of pizza from, like, direct incentive to get attention.
Sure.
So if he's looking for a podcast to sponsor where he can get his message out to a willing audience, like we're here for him. But
maybe until that day, audience. Maybe willing audience. I don't know.
That's some shit stirring. Calling that what I see. How about you, Paul? Any fun cooking ventures coming up?
Yeah, so I've got some bacon on the cure. So I got some heritage pork belly. I think it's Red Wattle or Berkshire, or maybe it's a combo of the two, pork belly that I've had on the cure for just on a week now. So I'll give it a few more days and then give it a smoke and I'll have some delicious bacon. So I did there's a method of curing called the equilibrium method where you carefully measure the ingredients so you have exactly the right amount of salt and curing salt to cure the exact size piece of meat. And that helps with it not getting too salty. So I started with that and then I added like every kind of pepper I could find. So I added some black pepper, white pepper, Sichuan pepper, Korean chili peppers. I think there's something else in there too. So I'm looking to get something kind of peppery, spicy, and delicious out of it.
That sounds wild. Super
delicious. I'm gonna slice it super thick and I'm gonna cook it under that tortilla press to keep it nice and flat.
Hell yes.
All right. I haven't eaten lunch yet. Now I'm just like drooling over here. It's like, food.
I mean, there's no hot dogs in a bottle, but it'll do.
Yeah, I know. I know. I still need to get you the hot dogs in a bottle. So would you marinate your bacon in the hot dog juice from the jar?
Wow.
You could even get that out of your face. I love it.
You know, I should look. I wonder what the salinity of that water is. Maybe I could use it as a brine.
You could just take the hot dogs out and just put the bacon in and seal it. Right? And
Or even just put some like chicken in and leave it for a couple of days. And
yeah.
Brine. You could bury it. You could bury it and make it like lutefisk in the char.
Something tells me that chicken lutefisk wouldn't work out too great.
Sounds good to me. Ship it. Let's see what happens. See what happens when it hits prod, aka your stomach.
We're gonna take you to the hospital pretty fast, I'm sure.
Speaking of prod, we probably should have talked about the whole, you know, half the internet went offline yesterday thing.
Oh yeah,
of an Akamai / DNS problem.
Whoops. Yeah, I heard an edge DNS droppage.
It's always DNS.
Yeah,
it's always DNS.
When is it not? So anyone read the details on that? Because I didn't.
Nah, everyone just blamed Akamai and moved on.
Yeah, I cool. kind of didn't really like read the details.
All right. Well, all the more reason for us not to go over them then.
Right.
If you didn't know, read something. If you did read something, tell us about it so we can repeat it. Back to food.
We'll give JJ homework to report on it next week.
There we go. JJ will report.
There we go. JJ, you heard it first. Right here. You've got homework. Food wise, I'm mostly eating other people's food this weekend with some family in town for a wedding. Gonna do some of that. If the opportunity arises, I do want to do like my like dry brined, what's it called? It's Norwegian fjord trout is the cut of fish. It's just like a really, like you can see the layers of fat between each kind of piece of meat. And it's got a fat cap on the side that just kind of gets really, really nice and tender and runs across it when you cook it up. It's a beautiful piece of fish that they have at the local fishmonger. So if we do end up hosting people for a meal outside, I'm going to grab one of those and go to town. But otherwise, I think I'll just eat fancy food that's not mine.
There you go.
Now, if you have a jar of hot dogs lying around, you can always just do a wet brine. The trout in the hot dog juice.
I love the idea of like fancy fish getting wet brined in hot dog water. It's probably going to be delicious. It would probably be delicious. Yeah.
You get fancy and use half a bottle of hot dog juice and half a bottle of pickle juice.
And then you take that, pop it into shot glasses and go to town.
Yep.
Picklebacks. You don't do this?
Have you had the pickle beer?
No.
I have had a beer with pickle flavor. Yeah.
Someone did like the Sun Made Pickles or whatever they are. Someone did a collaboration with them for a sour beer. And it's surprisingly drinkable as long as it's really cold. As soon as it warms up, it's really, really bad.
Well, I mean, like you do know that when things are cold, like you don't have the same taste.
Yeah, that's right.
Experience. So like anything can be kind of good when it's cold almost. So that's why so many not great beers are always served cold. No one can know the difference because they're drinking it so fast. Mm-hmm. I don't know. My brain can't get away from the hot dog juice on the trout. My brain is still kind of.
I'm into it. If I can make that happen for you, Laura, I will. You have my promise. I'm going to look for some hot dog flavored water around town first.
No, no, please don't do that to a gorgeous piece of fish. That doesn't really work.
It might work, man. We don't know for science. We need to find out.
What ethic do we have if not to at least ruin some food for the sake of finding out if it's not ruining it?
Science. You're trying science.
Yeah, experimentation.
It all comes back to science.
Like many great scienticians before me, I shall go forward.
We the Renaissance people of this century will know thy frisbees are meats and hot dogs.
Oh my goodness. The end. So Is that the end?
I think so.
Wait. There you go. That's the end.
Okay. So we're supposed to clap at the end.
No, I just
clap, clap, clap on, clap off.
Wait. Oh, no. Wait. Is this the start again? What was
I haven't. I haven't actually stopped the recording. Wait, I'm highly entertained. I think I'm going to end the recording at that, though.